Chapter 2. A Message to the Mayor. Lina often took different routes between school and home. Sometimes, just for variety, she'd go all the way around Sparkswallow Square, or way up by the shoe repair shops on Livery Street. But today, she took the shortest route because she was eager to get home and tell her news. She ran fast and easily through the streets of Ember. Every corner, every alley, every building was familiar to her. She always knew where she was, though most streets looked more or less the same. All of them were lined with old two-story stone buildings, the wood of their window frames and doors long unpainted. On the street level were shops. Above the shops were the apartments where people lived. Every building, at the place where the wall met the roof, was equipped with a row of floodlights, big cone-shaped lamps that cast a strong yellow glare. Stone walls, lighted windows, lumpy, muffled shapes of people, Lina flew by them. Her slender legs felt immensely strong, like the wood of a bow that flexes and springs. She darted around obstacles, broken furniture left for the trash heaps or for scavengers, stoves and refrigerators that were past repair, peddlers sitting on the pavement with their wares spread out around them. She leapt over cracks and potholes. When she came to Hafter Street, she slowed a little. This street was deep in shadow. Four of its street lamps were out and had not been fixed. For a second, Lina thought of the rumor she'd heard about light bulbs, that some kinds were completely gone. She was used to shortages of things, everyone was, but not of light bulbs. If the bulbs for the street lamps ran out, the only lights would be inside the buildings. What would happen then? How could people find their way through the streets in the dark? Somewhere inside her, a black worm of dread stirred. She thought about Dune's outburst in class. Could things really be as bad as he said? She didn't want to believe it. She pushed the thought away. As she turned onto Budlow Street, she sped up again. She passed a line of customers waiting to get into the vegetable market, their shopping bags draped over their arms. At the corner of Oliver Street, she dodged a group of washers trudging along with bags of laundry and some movers carrying away a broken table. She passed a street sweeper shoving dust around with his broom.
I am so lucky, she thought, to have the job I want. And because of Dune Harrow, of all people.
When they were younger, Lina and Dune had been friends. Together, they had explored the back alleys and dimly lit edges of the city. But in their fourth year of school, they had begun to grow apart. It started one day during the hour of free time, when the children in their class were playing on the front steps of the school.
I can go down three steps at a time, someone would boast. I can hop down on one foot, someone else would say.
The others would chime in,
I can do a handstand against the pillar. I can leapfrog over the trash can.
As soon as one child did something, all the rest would do it too, to prove they could. Lina could do it all, even when the dares got wilder. She yelled out the wildest one of all.
I can climb the light pole.
For a second, everyone just stared at her. But Lina dashed across the street, took off her shoes and socks, and wrapped herself around the cold metal of the pole. Pushing with her bare feet, she inched upward. She didn't get very far before she lost her grip and fell back down. The children laughed, and so did she.
I didn't say I'd climb to the top, she explained. I just said I'd climb it.
The others swarmed forward to try. Lizzie wouldn't take off her socks. Her feet were too cold, she said, so she kept sliding back. 40 Pen wasn't strong enough to get more than a foot off the ground. Next came Dune. He took his shoes and socks off and placed them neatly at the foot of the pole. Then he announced in his serious way, I'm going to the top. He clasped the pole and started upward, pushing with his feet, his knees sticking out to the sides. He pulled himself upward, pushed again. He was higher now than Lina had been, But suddenly, his hand slid and he came plummeting down. He landed on his bottom with his legs poking up in the air. Lina laughed. She shouldn't have. He might have been hurt. But he looked so funny that she couldn't help it. He wasn't hurt. He could have jumped up, grinned, and walked away. But Dune didn't take things lightly. When he heard Lina and the others laughing, his face darkened. His temper rose in him like hot water.
"Don't you dare laugh at me," he said to Lina. "I did better than you did. That was a stupid idea anyway. Stupid, stupid idea to climb that pole."
And as he was shouting, red in the face, their teacher, Mrs. Polster, came out onto the steps and saw him. She took him by the shirt collar to the school director's office, where he got a scolding he didn't think he deserved. After that day, Lina and Dune barely looked at each other when they passed in the hallway. At first, it was because they were fuming about what had happened. Dune didn't like being laughed at. Lina didn't like being shouted at. After a while, the memory of the light pole incident faded, but by then, they had got out of the habit of friendship. By the time they were 12, they knew each other only as classmates. Lina was friends with Vindy Chance, Orly Gordon, and most of all, red-haired Lizzie Biscoe, who could run almost as fast as Lina and could talk three times faster.